Good morning. It is 10:01, July 8th, 2024. I call this regularly scheduled, this is a special meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, Chair of the Commission, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugenhoffert and Julie Fedorchek. So we have a quorum. Let's start. Would you all join me in standing as we pledge allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The only comments that I have is, even though it's passed and you would normally probably do this in advance, but wish everyone here and those who are listening or watching belated, I guess now, happy Independence Day. It was a fun holiday in North Dakota, especially, I think, because we had pretty nice weather in at least most places in North Dakota for it. So, and the other thing, because we have some people who are frequent visitors of ours, in hearings and other processes, but not very often at actual commission meetings. Certainly welcome for the whole morning, but because the case that I think they are probably most interested is first, I just want to assure you that no one here will feel upset if you choose not to spend the whole morning with us. So. Commissioner Haugenhoffert, did you have any comments?
No, just here we are after a busy holiday, I think, and gearing up for hot temperatures. So it'll be interesting to see how these hot temperatures play into effect this week. And when not needing to use electricity, be conservative, huh? That will be my word of advice. So, it's good to be back.
Excellent.
Commissioner Fedorchek.
Thank you, colleagues on the commission. I want to just mention that this coming week, so I'm wearing a few different hats these days, on Friday, I'll be heading to Florida for the NARUC summer meeting. And on Saturday, we are doing one of the most important things that we'll be doing under my term as president, which is do final interviews for a new NARUC executive director. So those interviews will take place all day Saturday. Some great candidates for that, some of whom are of interest to our state. So we'll see how that all comes together, and then have the NARUC meeting Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And it's a great lineup of folks. We've got this author, Daniel Juergen, who's a really global expert on energy issues and the challenges that we all are facing with the new technologies and new regulations on the energy sector and the new opportunities as well. And he offers a really great global perspective on that, also bringing in the increased demand and some of the challenges that that's creating. So that he's going to be there. We have a throwdown on the agenda between someone from the a national environmental group and someone who's sort of speaking on the value of the renewable sector in terms of energy, delivering of energy services, and then someone who is speaking on the value of the fossil fuel industry. That's Mike Nassy. Who is well known to us. He'll be debating in a very traditional debate style. It's modeled after the Lincoln-Douglas debates, so it's going to be fun to see those two going kind of toe-to-toe on those issues at NARUC on the main stage there. And then just some significant discussions on the demand increases that we're all facing and how those are going to be met in lieu of increased EPA regulations, increased state goals, and the demands that those are placing on the utilities to retire fossil resources, and you know how all of this is going to be managed with the overall challenges of cost and reliability. So I think that it's shaped up to be a good meeting. We have more than 1,000 people registered, which is higher than normal for a summer meeting. So we're feeling like it's going to be a good gathering of industry leaders to talk about some of the pressing issues facing us. And then going straight from there to the Republican National Convention, obviously not on state dime. That's split off. Well, that'll be paid for by my campaign. But looking forward to being there Wednesday and Thursday for activities in Milwaukee. So it's going to be a busy 10 days, 2 weeks. Looking forward to it.
So that debate being modeled on the Lincoln-Douglas model really is intriguing to me. But so my understanding is so that means they won't devolve into an argument over golf scores?
I don't think that they will.
I don't think that was in the Lincoln-Douglas model.
We've had some pre-debate calls, and they also are very professional and respectful and working together well. So I think it'll be a really interesting discussion and debate of the issues.
Will that be recorded at all?
You know, we typically don't record them, and it's kind of be up to those two if they're willing to have it recorded and rebroadcast or whatever. So we'll see.
Well, good for you. Thank you for your hard work and the leadership skills that you bring to that position.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, we have seven items on the consent calendar. I move approval of those seven items plus the previous minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, then moving into RC1, I move the commission adopt the order on motion for attorney fees in Casey and Julie Voigt versus Coyote Creek Mining Company, LLC, complaint case number RC-23-348.
Second.
On June 5th of 2023, Casey and Julie Voigt filed a notice of appeal and specifications of error in South Central District Court. And that was related to three commission grade approvals. And then a couple months later, on August 18th, they filed a fourth. And on September 26th of last year, the parties, including Coyote Creek Mining Company, entered into a stipulation and agreed that the Voigts would file a complaint with the commission and request a formal hearing to address the matters raised. And the parties agreed that if the commission accepts the complaint, holds a formal hearing, and issues a final decision, the Voigts would file a motion to voluntarily dismiss the appeal with prejudice. Then on October 26th, the Voigts filed a notice on two more grade approvals, so the total involved here in our process was six. The commission held a hearing on December 22nd. On February 14th, we issued a findings of fact, conclusions of law and order, and in that, the commission declined to assess the attorney's fees. So on March 13th of this year, the Voigts filed a notice of appeal in the South Central District Court. A decision from the court is currently pending. On April 2nd, Coyote Creek filed a motion for attorney's fees. And that motion alleges a misuse of the commission's process and continued harassment, and that the complaint lacked any factual or evidentiary basis. In this case, the Voigt's complaint, the original complaint, though, was about suitable plant growth material respread. And while soil quality and soil issues have been previously discussed broadly, the depth of respread was largely unaddressed before. And further, all parties, including the mine, stipulated to use the administrative process to address the complaint. So this has turned out to be a really tough call for me, and maybe other commissioners will persuade me to change my mind. But at the point of our February 14th order, the case for the attorney fees was not really made yet. Subsequently, I thought Coyote Creek presented a very compelling case. Not for 100%, but beyond the initial questions on SPGM respread, as it played out, this case should have been dropped. Instead, it was supplemented with questions of PSC staff on the witness stand on unreviewed literature. There was more discussion on non-jurisdictional leases and lengthy testimony on productivity concerns unrelated to respread of SPGM or even of this mine. Now, I understand the deep, heartfelt desire of ag producers to maintain land productivity. We want landowners and neighbors to feel comfortable speaking out to the mines and to our reclamation division. But at some point, even a compelling desire to assure long-term productivity of your property, even though your heart might be in the right place, it can become harassment anyway. So there comes a time when the people need to stop, when it becomes clear their case lacks any merit or falls outside of our jurisdiction, as in the case of the lease. But the process of this case became very complicated, with it being filed first in district court and then brought back to the PSC for the adjudicative proceeding through that stipulation that I mentioned. And so it brings us to where we are now, and I will say that I really hope and plan to try and improve or clarify our process. And I don't know exactly yet how to do that. Me and a couple staff members spent a lot of hours in here Friday trying to figure out what is the proper role under the administrative rules and the law. But in the future, I don't know, maybe we have to require pre-filed testimony so that the defendant in a complaint knows what they have to defend against, rather than just a pattern of cases one after another with a shotgun approach like this. Maybe we need to seek administrative rules clarification, because it really seems confusing to me. Should the decision on awards of attorney fees before or after the exhaustion of appeals? But that seems like it needs clarity for a longer time for our decisions under the Administrative Practices Act if we're going to wait for the appeals process to play out. So at this point in time, it seems like the proper resolution to this question of attorney fees is through the courts. So this order is for denial of the request.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Chair Christman, I think you summarized it very well. And like you, I've had some discussion with staff on this, on how to make this system a little bit more efficient. It seemed like we have spent a lot of time on this case. And I'm just asking for a review, and I think the staff and the attorney have been very open to that on what we can do there. the other part of this is when the company brought forth, the motion alleges a misuse of the commission's process and continued harassment. Harassment's a very strong word, and I think there was also use of if this was frivolous based on information set forth. I also didn't feel that in the present case bad faith or harassment had been established based on that, but overall, I do concur with your finding in the denial of attorney fees and let the courts decide.
I also will just weigh in on what sort of the deciding factors for me on this issue have been and are. And really, it kind of is summarized at the end of the discussion pretty clearly. So there's an appeal process provided for in the Administrative Act. And, you know, there definitely are issues that have been brought up more than once by the voids on in terms of complaints. But in this case, it feels like the soil quality and the soil issues, they were previously kind of broadly discussed, but more specifically, in this case, you know, we definitely went into more depth in the hearing on SBGM more than we had in the previous hearings. So I couldn't get to the point of determining that there was bad faith or harassment on that issue on this case. And then the fact that all the parties, including the mine, stipulated to the use of the administrative proceeding, it felt sort of contradictory to me to say that all the parties said, yeah, let's go down this path and use this administrative proceeding. And then in the end to say that it was bad faith or harassment to do that. And then finally, I struggle like Randy that to give attorney's fees in the middle of the process feels a little premature when there's still outstanding work being done on this case at the court level. And so I feel like this doesn't shut the door on attorney's fees. It just says, like, at this point from our process, it isn't warranted. But once you get all the way through, I think that court can still review that and provide a different decision. So I think that this is this order is appropriate at this point. And though do think that it merits repeating the warnings that we issued in our previous orders in terms of there needs to be merit to the issues that are being brought forth and not issues that have been previously determined. Dust, now SBGM, alluvial valley floors. I mean, there's a number of issues that have been we have reviewed repeatedly, and it takes away from the staff's ability, our small staff's ability, to get their work done in an efficient manner if we're spending time repeatedly going over issues and complaints like this in the future. So I do impress on the parties to, you know, use their best judgment and use the other processes available outside of the formal complaints to address some of these issues and work together to resolve the needs of the landowner and the company in carrying out the responsibilities and the ability of the mine to mine this land.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Commissioner Haugenhofer.
Thank you. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Alternative Energy Allocation Methodology Application Case Number PU-24-99.
Second.
On March 6th, MDU filed an application regarding its fuel and purchase power adjustment using the E8760 cost allocation method as an alternative to the current FNPP rate 58 schedule. This filing is made in compliance with the requirements set forth in the June 6, 2023 order in case number PU-22-194. MDU conducted an hourly energy study expanding the rate classes for the two rate 58 classes, primary and secondary, to residential, small engine, small general, large general, primary, large general, secondary, lighting primary, and lighting secondary. The allocation methodology resulted in a higher cost per kilowatt for residential and small general rate classes and a reduction for all the other rate classes. A residential customer using approximately 800 kilowatt per month would see an average monthly increase of 67 cents. The issues to be considered in the proceeding are whether the proposed cost allocation method is reasonable, and secondly, whether the cost allocation should be approved. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by August 19, 2024. If deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Okay, Commissioner Fedorchak.
Thank you. Let's see here. Oopsie, I rearranged mine. Okay, I move the Commission issue a notice of public input sessions and public hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company 2023 natural gas rate increase application case number PU-23-341.
Second.
So MDU has filed a notice for increasing their rates for natural gas service. They propose an $11.6 million or 7.45% increase in their natural gas revenues. The proposed rates would affect MDU's service to all of its retail natural gas customers, and they're currently under interim rates that will be subject to refund. They were approved on December 13th of 2023. The public input sessions will be held July 22nd at 12 p.m. in the Commission hearing room, and the same day, July 22nd at 5:30 p.m., in the Commission hearing room. A public hearing is scheduled to begin September 30th at 8:30 a.m., also in the Commission hearing room. So we'd love to hear from the public on their thoughts and concerns on this rate increase. Again, it's an $11.6 million rate increase, a 7.45% increase request. The last increase for MDU gas customers was in 2020, and that was an increase of 6%. And MDU stated then and is stating now that the driving factor for their rate increases is replacing of aging infrastructure and just general increase in costs of labor and inflationary increases. And they do also note that these increased investments that they have made have been partially offset by increase in revenues by growing customer base, but what they're asking for is a difference in what they haven't been able to cover with the increasing revenue from a growing customer base. So again, I'd love to hear from customers what their thoughts are on this rate increase that is being asked for by the company, and our public input sessions will be July 22nd at 12 p.m. and 5:30 p.m. Central in the Commission hearing room. Oh, and wait a minute. It's also available online. All that'll be, you can do the input sessions virtually, telephonically, or you can send your public comments by written notice as well to the PSC website, ndpsc@nd.gov. So there's lots of information on our website on how to participate virtually or telephonically or by mail or by written comment.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. All right, the next one. And I move the commission issue a notice of public input sessions and public hearing in Northern States Power Company's 2024 natural gas rate increase application, case number PU-23-367.
Second.
So this is NSP asking, we're having a public input sessions for their rate increase request. They're proposing an nearly $8.5 million increase, a 9.4% increase to their annual natural gas revenues. The interim rates subject to refund were approved on February 21st, so those are already in effect. The public input sessions will be held July 29th at 12 p.m. and 5:30 p.m. Central Time in the Commission Hearing Room, also available virtually, telephonically, and by written public input can be submitted to NDPSC at nd.gov. And all of the information for how to participate is available at the Public Service Commission website. And so we'd love to have lots of public input from folks and NSP customers to see where they're thinking on that. The last increase for NSP gas customers was approved, I believe, in 2022. It was case number PU-21-381. And that was a 7.55% increase. Again, NSP's drivers are capital investments in its gas distribution system, investments in its peaking plants, and general capital investments, including information technology, fleet modernization, and improvement to facilities. So both of our gas companies are making significant investments in their system, driving need for higher rates, according to them. So we'd love to hear from their customers and get thoughts from customers of NSP gas to see what thoughts are on what the company is proposing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order in Grayson Mill Operating LLC 8-inch crude oil pipeline, Williams and McKenzie County, citing temporary approval, case number PU-24-219.
Second.
So, effective January 2021, Grayson Mill Operating LLC purchased from Equinor Energy LP the on-oil terminal in Williams County, North Dakota, Alexander Oil Terminal in McKenzie County, North Dakota, and approximately 4.72-mile-long, 8-inch diameter pipeline connecting the two terminals. The purchase pipeline was not in operation and had been purged and filled with nitrogen. Grayson proposes to use the pipeline to transport crude oil between the Ani and Alexander terminals to allow in order to allow for the transport of additional volumes of crude oil to expanded markets. So they're requesting that the commission issue a temporary approval to permit the operation of the facilities as proposed. The pipeline does not require any construction of new pipeline and requires relatively minor activities. Grayson will install a new isolation valve on the west side of the Missouri River, which will result in surface disturbance, and they will replace the existing isolation valve on the east side of the Missouri River, which will not require any surface disturbance. The crude oil will be measured both leaving the Alexander terminal and arriving at the Ani terminal via Coriolis meters, and the pipeline uses a leak detection system. Grayson will conduct a hydrostatic test and an internal inspection of the pipeline prior to putting that into service, and they will provide certification to us that they are satisfied that the pipeline is safe to operate prior to putting it into operation. So they'll provide us with the results of those tests and a certification that it's safe. Grayson submits that the pipeline's operation will provide additional markets for crude oil produced in the state, while not requiring construction of a new pipeline. Use of the existing infrastructure will eliminate the need for additional surface disturbance. And upgrading the existing pipeline will, with additional safety features, will result in only minor surface impacts, including activities to install the new isolation valve on the west side of the Missouri and updating the existing valve on the east side of the Missouri. This will improve the existing infrastructure and create additional capacity and allow for distribution of North Dakota's natural resources to additional markets without negatively impacting the environment. So we believe in issuing this temporary approval that it is an has a positive impact on the environment and on the folks living in these areas. Grayson filed a certification by Blake Sullins, the chief operating officer, and that states that the activities will have no adverse impacts on the welfare of citizens of North Dakota or the environment. They have retained an environmental consultant to evaluate and study the pipeline and draft a siting application pursuant to the applicable laws and regulations. So Grayson, this order states that Grayson shall file a siting application for the pipeline on or before August 1st, that and it approves them for a temporary permit for the facilities that they that I just described, and it requires them to certify through a hydrostatic test and internal line inspection that the pipeline is safe to operate. And so with those items in place, we would issue a temporary approval of the operation facilities with the modifications specified in this temporary permit.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, I just want to say I certainly support everything in the discussion and support the motion. And my comments are not aimed at Grayson at all. I appreciate it. I think they're doing absolutely the right thing here. But with the application for the certification, presumably just a couple weeks away, I hope either that they will address in that application or in a subsequent filing how this pipeline came to be. I don't know if Equinor built it or if they acquired it from someone else. Maybe it was built so long ago it was before the siting law and never needed a certificate, in which case I'm not sure it would need one now. Maybe they just want that formality. But if it was built along the way in violation of the Siting Act, I'd like to know who did that and when and how that happened. I think it's important that that be dug into here. And with this being a pipeline that's already in place and not a very long pipeline, you know, I just bring it up now because I could potentially see the possibility that this might turn out to be a case that is handled by an administrative law judge in the hearing. And so I just, while we have it in front of us, want to be on the record of, I want to know how this pipeline got there in the first place and who put it there.
I agree, Randy, and those are good requests to make in advance of the hearing. And I don't have any answers to that. My understanding is it was, it is a jurisdictional pipeline. It should have a permit, and it was not permitted. So, why I am not, I'm not aware. And it's always a challenge when a company is trying to come under the law and, you know, make it right, especially when it's a new company that wasn't involved at the beginning.
Right,
so
right,
I applaud them for doing that and citing it and doing it the right way. So we'll get that all taken care of and it'll be better.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission assess an application fee of $50,000 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Basin Electric Cooperative Antelope Valley to Neset 345 KV Transmission Line, Williams County, citing application case number PU-24-236.
Second.
On April 23rd of 2014, the Commission issued a Certificate 152 and Route Permit 164 to Basin Electric, authorizing approximately 197 miles of 345 kV and 230 kV transmission lines and facilities from Antelope Valley near Beulah to Neset Substation near Tioga. On June 10th of 2024, Basin filed an amendment requesting the addition of a new 345-115 kV substation, a 250-foot tall microwave tower, 6.8 miles of 115 kV line, and 1,560 feet of new 345 kV line, and one new 345 kV structure in Williams County, approximately 10 miles northeast of Williston, North Dakota. Location of the new 345 kV tower and line is in section T156 North, R100 West, section 36. So the issues in this proceeding are, will the location operation of proposed facilities produce minimal adverse effects? Are they compatible with the environmental preservation and efficient use of resources? And will the facility minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continued system reliability and integrity, and ensuring that the energy needs are met and fulfilled in orderly and timely fashion? Anyone interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request. Comments and requests for hearings must be received by August 24th and of this year, and if deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
Sorry, I just had to make a note out of that case. So with that, we will take some questions from the press. And while we do that, pardon me?
We can do announcements.
Yeah, but before we do that, we'll, of course, do announcements. Including... that this afternoon at 1:30, we have an informal hearing in case PU-24-91. That is kind of a joint Otter Tail Power and Montana Dakota Utilities 345 kV transmission line that goes from Jamestown to Ellendale for public convenience and necessity. And then at 3, we have another informal. That is case PU-24-168 with Consolidated Communications Networks on designated eligible carrier expansion application. That would be out in the Belfield area. Next, day after tomorrow on the 10th, on our calendar originally was regular commission meeting. That is canceled. That's why we're meeting today. The next day on the 11th at 9 o'clock, we have a formal hearing down in Wishick, and that is case PU-24-87, the Badger Wind project, and it's an amendment to a previously approved project, and that's in Logan and McIntosh counties, a wind farm project. On Tuesday the 23rd at 10 o'clock, we have a special commission meeting, I think. Yeah, that was changed. It was originally scheduled for the next day, the 24th. And I want to emphasize a couple more things. On Friday, July 26th, you won't want to miss this. Anybody who's listening, it's 811 Day at the North Dakota State Fair. Be there or you're going to miss out. And then
miss out seeing you, Commissioner.
Miss out there. On 811 Day specifically, and the North Dakota State Fair in general. I mean, what a family opportunity. And then the following week, on the whole week, July 29th through August 2nd, we have scheduled the formal hearing for case PU-23-342. That's the Otter Tail Power Company electric rate increase. And, of course, if the hearing wraps up before that time, the subsequent days, it will be done. We won't be here all 5 days just waiting. But there's no public comment in that anyway. But
I'm confused by that. I thought that got postponed because they made an additional request.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I've been confused by seeing that on my calendar.
Sure.
And have scheduled some things in place.
It hasn't been canceled off of the calendar yet. We wanted to kind of hang on to those dates for some other things we were working on. We're kind of waiting for the filings to come in before we come back with you with alternative dates. So that's why I was kind of raising my hand in the sidelines there. So we likely will not hold that hearing.
They requested it for later.
Correct.
So for clarification, it is not being held there, but we're holding those dates for other things.
Correct.
Okay. So we need to narrow those dates down because I can't hold all those dates much longer. So
I have a little bit of discussion on our admin on that topic.
Good. But those dates are, can we change that to something else on the calendar now? Since
can we just put it like hold for hearing?
Hold.
Because I think it's confusing. I've had to rethink it several times in my head. Usually late in the middle of the night going, I thought we canceled those dates.
Yeah.
Well, I think once we get to the admin part of it, then we can change it later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good point, Commissioner.
Yeah. Okay, that concludes the rather confusing announcement. But one thing that there should be no confusion, and that is 811 Day at the North Dakota State Fair. It's very important.
It's happening on the 29th.
With that, we will take questions from the press while we pause in a recess. We'll reconvene.